Well, again, it's a real privilege to be with you this morning. And I have shared a little bit about what God is doing across the nations. This morning's theme is the call to make disciples. And one of the things that have been a driving force in my own life has been this great commission of Jesus that we read this morning in Matthew chapter 28. It's a driving force in my own life. It's a driving force for us as a mission, Africa for Christ. And this morning, as visiting missionaries always do, we're going to be reminding you that it's a driving force in your own life. And I'm going to be challenging each one of you this morning to put to obedience what God has called you to do. It was an incredible privilege to hear of a gentleman who's 90 years old this coming month. What an incredible milestone, and congratulations again to you. Unfortunately, I'm not going to leave you undisturbed, for my message this morning is that whether you are 15 or 90, the command of Jesus into your life is go and make disciples. And one of the things that brings us greatest concern at the moment, globally, in the church, is the lack of normal people making disciples of others. I'm going to say that again. Our greatest concern for the church is the very low levels to which church people who are disciples are not discipling at least somebody else. Okay, now, sometimes I do this, but I won't this morning. I ask you to raise your hand if you are discipling somebody currently. And the average response is about 10% of the church. Now, last week I was in a church in Joburg. Next week, I'm in a church in Ohio in the U.S. This week, I'm in a church in Cape Town. I'm all over the place. So it's not just one particular church. But somehow, we've kidded ourselves into believing that making disciples is not my job. So I've really tried to figure out what is it that stops you and me from making disciples. But I guess my first thing I want to remind us is jumping back to the passage in Matthew chapter 28. Can we just read that again? I know we had such a beautiful reading, but I want to read it again for you. Just to go through that a little bit more in depth. I'm going to start from verse 19 of Matthew chapter 28. Jesus says, "Therefore, go and make disciples." Jesus says, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey every command that I've given you." Make disciples by teaching them to obey every command that I've given to you. And so I want to just have a look at this verse and pluck it apart a little bit with you. And the first key word in that sentence is this very strong word, go. The word is go. And what we find in the church today, when somebody, if you meet somebody, perhaps in your retirement village, perhaps in your neighborhood, perhaps somebody who's one of your family suddenly strikes an interest in Jesus, what do we say to them? Come to church. Come here to the pastor. Come. But the verb that Jesus uses is go. And the whole intention of the kingdom of God is that each one of us are carrying a beautiful seed. And the intention is that from where we are going. They talk about the kingdom of God spreads, goes towards darkness. It goes towards brokenness. One of the most unbelievable studies you ever do is have a look when Jesus finds himself in a city or a town, who is he having lunch with? Can anybody tell me who is Jesus having lunch with most of the time?
Unbelievers.
Were they just like average, normal unbelievers? You know who they were? They were the most corrupt officials in this metro. The guys who are stealing the most, underhandedly. That's who Jesus is having lunch with. The gangsters who are terrorizing people, that's who he's having lunch with. The women who are loose and just messing around with men all the time, that is who he's having lunch with. Am I wrong? And somehow we've come to a point where as we become a believer, we retreat into the believing family. And that becomes our reality. When Jesus is saying, you know in your retirement village, you know that person who swears the most. You know the one who is the very worst person. Guess what? That's who Jesus wants you to have lunch with. If he was there, if he walked into your retirement village, he would be having lunch with the five people you don't even want to talk to. That's the interesting thing. And so this morning, the first thing I want to put on your mind is to say to you, Jesus, when he said go, yes, he meant to the ends of the earth. But he also meant to you. You know that neighbor. You know that person. Go to them. Don't try and bring them anywhere. Do not bring them to church. You go to them and let them discover Jesus in their place where they are. In the darkness, let that light shine. And so that's the challenge to you this morning. Go into the darkness that Jesus has given you. The second part of this verse, so there's this very powerful verb called go, and then there's this very strong second verb, is make disciples. Go and make disciples. Now what we're finding in the church as well, is the most common thing that we do with somebody, is we save them. So Jesus says, make disciples, but what do? We save souls. We focus on them coming to salvation. Can you see the distinction? Is there a difference? You see, there's a significant difference. Because my African pastors, the guys who have finished Bible school, when they come and we do a week of training, I say, right, what's your plan? My plan is to, I've got a loudspeaker and I've got a tent. And I'm going to go into this village and I'm going to shout as loud as I can. And after shouting for a week, I'm going to have about 20 people that are saved. And then I'm going to have a church. I say, wow, that's interesting. Are any of them going to be disciples? Oh, I don't know about that, but they will be saved. Is there a difference? And you know what happens for the next 10 years with those 20 people sitting in that church? You know what happens? They continue to sit there with one mouth blabbering at them, and their life doesn't change. because they're not in the sample. And so, the second challenge to you is not only go, but can you make a disciple of your friend? Now, the most common response is, listen, Jeremy, you're a professional missionary. You've been trained. John Broome is a pastor. He can disciple people. Who am I that I can disciple someone? Have you ever thought that? I can't do that. I'm not trained. Or maybe you just use the simple words, I don't know how. I don't know how. Now, Matthew 28 says a very interesting thing. It says, when you're making a disciple, the most important thing for you to do is to teach them how to obey my commands. Do not teach them about me. Do not teach them knowledge. Teach them obedience. Can you see that? Is there a difference? So, this morning I'm going to try and do this with you guys. Okay. I'm going to try and disciple you. What is discipleship? I have to teach you how to obey Jesus' commands. I haven't got time for all of these commands. So I'm going to focus on one command, right? What command is it? The command is to each one of you, go and make disciples. Is that a command of Jesus? Yes. So let's just take that one command. I now have to teach you how to obey that. So the first thing I've already said is, I want you to start thinking about somebody that is in your life right now, that God has given you in your life, that you can go and engage with. Somebody who needs Jesus. That's the first step. I'm teaching you the how now. Think of somebody that God wants you to reach out to. The second thing is, I want to show you a very simple three steps that we are training all of our pastors in. We are training every person that is a disciple in the church. My church planters in Africa for Christ, they are required by us to teach every person in the church to do these three things with somebody else. And yes, the three things. I want you, this coming week, if you've got a pen, I'd like you to write this down. It's from Mark chapter 4 and verse 35 to 41. If you're serious, you'll write this down and you'll hear why I'm saying this. In Mark chapter 4 and verse 35 to 41, there is a story about Jesus. How are you going to obey Jesus' command to go and make a disciple? I'm telling you how now. I'm giving you the how. I'm saying to you, think of one person. Take Matthew chapter 4, verse 35 to 41. I'm giving this to you so practically, you can't miss it. Okay? Mark chapter 4, verse 35 to 41. I'm saying, take that story and go and read it with your friend. The worst drunkard, or the worst swearer atheist person, or maybe just your average normal neighbor that you haven't ever taken the time to go and share with, right? Choose the person, go and read a story from Mark chapter 4, verse 35 to 41 with your friend. While you are reading it, you do the three things that we train everybody. Once you've read the story, you ask question one. What did you hear God saying to you from this story? Question number one, what did you hear from that story that you think God wants to say to you? I don't even believe in God. Okay, well, what's something that interested you? Okay? So you're asking them to engage. You are not teaching them. You are asking them to hear God's word and tell you what they are hearing. Okay? Is that clear? Step one, you've read the passage. What did you hear? After they've said what they've heard, we say something small that we heard because we're sharing, right? So step number one, we both hear and share what we heard. Step number two, we ask them, what do you think you should do in reaction, in response to what you've just read? What is your step of obedience for this coming week? What is the action that you will take in response to hearing God's word? Okay? You following me with that? So we ask them for just one action that they are willing to do in response to the story we've just read. And you also say one action that you will do. You got that? So you also got to commit to one action. You're both committing to obey. The third question. Is there one person in your family or friends that also needs to hear the story that we've just read? That atheist, swearing, drunken guy who's now reading the story. Mr. So-and-so, is there anyone in your circle you think that would like to hear the story? You know what he's going to say to you? Yes. Actually, I've got a friend who's busy dying of cancer. I think he needs the story as well. The guy's not even a believer, but he still will know people who need this word from Jesus. So what is this passage of Mark chapter 4? What is that? It's a simple story of where Jesus says to his disciples, let's get in the boat and we're going to cross the lake. So they get in the boat, they're crossing the lake, and a massive storm comes. And it looks like they're going to drown. And the next thing they see, Jesus is fast asleep. So they wake him up and say, Rabbi, the storms are over us and we're going to drown. And Jesus gets up, commands the storms to subside and the wind, and everything goes peaceful. And he says to them, where was your faith? And the disciples say, who is this that even the wind and the waves obey him? And so you read the story with your friend. You just read that story. It's what we call one of the most powerful seeker or non-believer introductory stories of the scriptures. Because it's a story about chaos in life, it's a story about troubles and problems, and it's a story about Jesus is there in that absolute chaos. And it's a story about that he brings peace and calm. So it touches every human heart who hears that story. He's touched because none of us are without storms in our life. Now, I'm giving you the example of one story. What we do is we have about 10 stories. That's the first one. And we take our friends and the people through these 10 stories all about Jesus. By the end of it, they know Jesus. And you know what the last story is? It's about when Jesus, in John chapter 3, meets Nicodemus. And so about the 9th, 10th story, about 10 weeks later, we're reading with them the story of Jesus and Nicodemus. And Nicodemus says, but how? How can I be saved? And Jesus says, you've got to be born again. And you're reading that story with your drinking friend who's an atheist swearer, and you say, right, what did you hear? Well, it sounds like I've got to be born again. You're not telling him. Jesus is telling him. Well, what do you want to do in response to it? I think I better be born again. And so you're taking people through this process of discipling them into faith. And once they're a believer, we're doing that same process over and over again. See, one of the hardest questions is what does it mean to make a disciple of someone? That's a very complicated question. If I said to you, go and disciple this person now, you're thinking, gee, that is a huge task. How do I do it? But what we're saying is, no, it's not as big as you think. This is the simple thing you've got to do. You've got to help people to hear God for themselves, number one. To obey Him when He speaks, number two. And to go and share Him with others. Whatever they've heard, go and share that with others. If they do those three things, you know what? You are discipling. And they are becoming a disciple. Anyone who is regularly hearing from God, making sure they obey what He says, and sharing that with others, is becoming a disciple of Jesus. It's that easy. Those three things. So, I want to just pop on to that final verse. We won't spend long. Beautiful verse. Jesus talks about a light that is up on the hill. What is that light that is up on the hill? What is the light? Can anybody shout out and tell me? What is the light that Jesus says is up on a hill for everyone to see and they're drawn to it? What is the light? Who? What? Say again, the church. Alright. The church, wow. Now, sorry to say this, but that is the very worst answer. Because we think that the light for Fishel is this church, the building. That is not what the verse says. It says the exact opposite. Unless by church you mean the people of God, which is probably not what you mean. But we can sometimes think of a physical building that's up on a hill. You see that big cross on that building? That's in neon. That's the light that draws people. Is that what Jesus was saying? What did He say? You. You. Each one of you are the light. You are the light. And just this morning as you read it again, I've got a new insight. It says everybody in the room, everybody in the room is impacted by the light. Who is in your room? That's the question this morning. Who is in your room? And I'm sorry for making this difficult, but I want to say to you, you've got to ask yourself, why did Jesus have you here this morning? On this particular morning when Jeremy is here, the cycling is on, it's raining, you could easily have stayed at home. But for some reason, you are here. And the reason is, Jesus wants to say, you've got people in your room, in your sphere of influence, and the only way that He can make His plea to them, 2 Corinthians that we read this morning, the way God pleads and reaches people is through you, as the ambassador of Christ. You are the ambassadors of Christ. You are that. You are the light. So in your room, you've got people, and I'm asking you this morning, do not leave without making a commitment to go and disciple him. And what can you start with? What's the easy first thing you can start with? Mark chapter 4, verse 35 to 41. Go and read that story with your friends. Let's pray together. Father God, I want to thank you so much this morning that even as you seized my life as a young man and you told me, go, that I got on a plane to a country I'd never even heard of and I went. And I have only seen your grace and your amazing gospel as it goes out into places and into darkness and into people who don't know you. And I just pray this morning for the folk here in Fishhook. I pray right now that God, people that you brought this morning, that you would empower them, that you would fill them with the longing, with the joy, with the desire to shine their light to the people in their room that you've given them. We pray this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.